Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. This is episode number 137. And happy Easter season to you as we celebrate new life, eternal glory, thanks to our champion, our Savior, and that we too may resurrect and change the world. And we are also fresh off the Arise Retreat. I use the word fresh sparingly because I'm actually really tired. I'm pretty whooped, but also energized, if that's possible. So I have a lot of thank yous on today's show, a few special guests as we sit down with Father Nathan Cromley, Pastor Linda Isaiah, and just talk about some of the highlights and the messages from the weekend together. And I love what Father Nathan shared, I think it was last year, about how on retreat for our Lord to serve us. And then as we go home, we serve Him. We feed His sheep. And from St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta to St. John Paul the Great to Jesus Himself, they needed a retreat. And I think for me, it was the best experience of them all. The years previous, this was our third Arise retreat, because I was actually able to relax, and I think more so than I have in years past. And as a shy person, that's it for me. It's hard if I'm not comfortable. If I'm not comfortable, I'm not as open and receptive, and then I can't get anything out of it. And it's weird because it's my retreat. I mean, it's the Lord's retreat, but it's the Good Things Radio retreat. But still, as an introvert, those barriers are there, and I get it. I get it for other people. But this year, I think there was something just really special. A lot of, you know, this is our third year, a lot of returning ladies. So there was like this instant vulnerability, this openness where people were there to work, because even if you're shy, even if you struggle, if you go in with the right attitude, the Lord will work with that. And so I think there was a spirit of people knew that they were there. They had invested the time, the distance, the money in making sure that they were able to get the most out of that weekend and the experience. And so the greater the capacity, I think, when we do that, for the Holy Spirit to have room to work. And I think it happened. And we had Leah and Kay and Melissa, who drove 13 hours all the way from Nebraska. Kelly, who originally bought her ticket with her husband and family stationed in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. They just moved to West Virginia, so thankfully she wasn't that far. But still driving, taking the time. Angie from Oklahoma. Lisa, who flew from Colorado, and her flight was changed like 9 times. Jenny from Georgia. In fact, we had a couple of Georgia gals. Tanya from Connecticut. Melissa from Indiana. Arlene and Darlene from North Dakota. I mean, this is how amazing our Lord is. There is no other way that we would have met unless He had called us to this place at this time. And it's thrilling when you think about it, how He does that, and connections that will be forever now. So I just want to sincerely thank everyone who has supported the Arise Retreat, most especially my team, and the hard work, you know, basically starting almost a year before the event for just a few days that we gather together. But the graces for every woman who came and gave their yes to be changed with an encounter with Christ. And I want you to be a part of that too. We want to enfold you into that experience, whether you were there, whether you're just listening and living kind of vicariously through the spirit of the retreat. Father Nathan and Linda were kind enough to share some highlights. They sat down with me and talked about just some words of encouragement from their own talks. And I want to share that with you now as we kind of go in a mystical way to the Arise Retreat. Take a listen.
Welcome to the third hard-to-believe Arise Retreat at Loyola Retreat House. We are tucked away across from a farm field in Loyola, Ohio, with some woods and a blanket because it's a little bit chilly in here. But our hearts are so warm after a few days together at the Arise Retreat House and a full house of women from all over the United States. Mm-hmm. I am so excited to be joined now with our retreat master in person, Father Nathan Cromley. One of our speakers, Pastor Linda Isaiah. Welcome, friends.
Welcome.
So glad to be here.
It's been a year since we've met this way.
Yeah.
What a blessing.
Exciting. Exciting.
And a lot's happened since we gathered a year ago. So, Father, before we wrap up, I kind of want to end with your news, your Eagle Eye Pro, your new podcast, and talk about what you've been doing. Ooh. Linda, you are continuing as a speaker.
Yes.
You have a conference every year. Your ministry continues to grow. But I think all of us were humans. In the last year, we've kind of hit some roadblocks and had some challenges. And you've lost your husband, Errol, which I know our listeners know.
Yes.
We walked the journey with you on the podcast.
Yes, you did. And yes, you are.
But for a lot of people, setting the tone for this weekend, it's grief.
Yes.
And you, last year, I remember, had a session and touched on this, and so many people were surprised by things they were grieving over they never even realized.
Right.
And we really dug into that a lot more.
Yes, we did.
Going all the way back to childhood with that. And so you talked about that a lot in your session. Father Nathan, I want to start with you because you talked, and I wish I had this recorded, but maybe you can offer a snapshot, a lot about don't quit.
Yeah.
Going your inspiration to YouTube, watching the Navy SEALs training.
Yeah.
And you're never too old or young. Doesn't matter. I mean, you know, let's face it, we're not going to be Navy SEALs, but we can have that mentality and how that's inspired you, the I'm not dead, I'm not going to quit. Not dead, don't quit.
Yeah.
And I know you painted the picture much more eloquently, but that's something that transcends any stage that we can all relate to because we're going to need that reminder.
Right.
So any words of encouragement from
that? Well, you know, it came really out of the truth of so many women that I've met who are really upset, not only that the world is hard, but at God for allowing it to be hard. Mm. And I just say to myself, well, like, let's just get over it because it's supposed to be hard. We're light in the darkness. We are fire in the cold. We are med doctors working with the sick. You know, the idea here is that Jesus, the good shepherd, had to go into the wilderness to find his sheep and not complain by the fact the wilderness was hard. It's going to be hard. When I look at the Bible, that's all I see is Jesus saying, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. I see Paul getting scourged. I see every apostle dying as a martyr. And then I see, except John, of course. And then I see our Christians today just expecting it to be easy and getting mad at God when it's not. So I think it's important that everyone hear the message that it is hard and that's a good thing. And that means that we need to adapt the mentality more of a warrior going into battle against evil instead of a princess who's supposed to be catered to by her God and just carried through life, you know, eating grapes.
One of the things I noticed in going to the Holy Land was revisiting the Word of God and the Scriptures, and how often so many pivotal places we hear, be not afraid, do not fear. And I think you really brought that home. Don't quit and don't be afraid. And also, don't succumb to the lies of the enemy like you're alone. You talked about
that. Yeah, there's three lies that really pin us down from the enemy. The first is to say that you yourself are the problem, meaning that you are just fundamentally flawed and you're evil. We feel that way. That's when you feel that way, it is a lie. You have to just banish it. You can't deal with these lies of the enemy by rationality because they're overwhelming because they come from an intelligence, the angelic intelligence of the devil. And what you have to be able to say is simply say, it's a lie. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible never says you are fundamentally flawed as a creature and evil. Second thing is that we feel like whatever we've done, it's all our fault. It's never all your fault. You're still guilty and morally responsible, but that's why we can repent, because it's never all our fault. We are all go down together, and we all go up together. And the third thing is that you are all alone. So it's a terrible lie. If you could ever get those three lies in your head, you will be absolutely incapable of fighting back. And so what we have to do is instead banish them one by one and say, yeah, I may have problems with myself, but I am still good and loved by God. I am never all alone. And whatever I did, I can now try to undo. And now I've got that fighting spirit again.
Well, I think one of the things, Dr. Angela Miller, our team member and psychologist, talked a little bit yesterday about temperament and just the way that we see ourselves. And I think that's an important reminder, because when we're starting from a place of distortion anyway, where we do think it's our fault, we do think we're alone, we're so hard on ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think about the advice I give to my mom friends. I always try to encourage. I always see the best in them, but I don't apply that same standard to myself. Mm. It's totally opposite for myself. I see the worst. I see how I'm failing. And a lot of times I wrap it up in false humility, because I'm saying, no, God wants me to be hard on myself so I can continue to grow. But then that can become sinful and actually prideful, because I'm not allowing His grace to shine through. And I love that we need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded that we're not alone, that it's not our fault, that we are beautiful.
That's right.
And also then do a little bit of heart surgery and get in there and uproot the things that don't allow us to see clearly. And that's what you worked on with your grief session. And I was blown away by the feedback. It's definitely been a weekend of tears of laughter and sadness, but in a good way, you know, therapeutic way. So any insights that you can share? I mean, it was a 2-hour session.
It was a 2-hour really session, and we really, really went into it. We went in. If I could get women to understand that when you hear negativity in your brain, it is not from God. God doesn't give us negative things. He gives us positive things. He loves us. He wants the best for us. When you hear all that kind of negative stuff, that's the enemy, or your mama or your daddy or somebody in the back of your brain telling you some things that are in your past. But with grief recovery, we talk about, we're 100% grievers. And grieving is not just about the death of a loved one. It could be the death of a spouse, and it could be the death, it could be a move, that when you were a kid, you had to move from one house to another house, and that you were saddened by that. And your parents taught you how to handle that in ways only they knew how, because they didn't know how. And our society is not equipped. We're taught how to teach people how to obtain stuff. Mm-hmm. But we don't teach people what to do when they lose stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay? So when you lose something, what are you supposed to do? And there's some myths. One of them is replace the loss. So my dog died and I'm crying, and my mom says, you don't have to cry, honey. I'll go buy you another dog. But you haven't taught me to say goodbye to my other dog. Mm-hmm. But you want to buy me a new dog. Or as my mom used to say, honey, if you eat something, you'll feel better. So our replacement was we ate. Mm-hmm. It was time to eat. And that always did feel good. The only thing about it is it doesn't last, because the pain is still going to come back. And so I tried to get the ladies to just begin, just to get a little glimpse of their childhood, their past, the voices that they've been hearing, that those issues have catapulted them into marriages, into situations. There's grief in all of that. And how can we get to a point where we can start to take off some of those layers? And we did that a little bit today.
You did, in all sorts of different circumstances. You had a paper that identified some losses, even like empty nests, that we might not immediately, we might just say, this is just a stage of life. But actually, there's a grieving that goes into that. And also, I mean, we've talked about this so much on the program, chronic situations, lifelong situations.
You
offered an idea that I thought was so beautiful. I was thinking of my own daughter in being able to write love letters to her.
Yes.
And this would be undelivered communication.
Yes.
But for my own heart and self.
Yes.
I am saying all the things to her that I really want her to know. And I still, I mean, every day I tell her that I love her, but we don't have a typical reciprocal conversation.
Right. And to be able to not only tell her that, but to see what it is you wanted for her future, you know, and to be able to verbally say that, Carolina, I'm sad that I won't see you get married. I'm sad, Carolina, because those are your hopes, your dreams, and your expectations for her life. Those are the things that we have to grieve over, what we thought our hopes. I hoped that me and my husband would grow old and together, but that's a dream that's not going to happen now. And so now I've got to grieve over the loss of all of that. And you always, anytime you have a loss, you always feel leaving like you wish things were different, better, and more. Always.
Yeah.
If I had been there, maybe he wouldn't have died. If I had have been there, maybe I could have said, I shouldn't have been mean that morning, but when my child went off to school and then maybe he got shot in school. All these killings and things that are going around, I'm sure those parents are dealing in deep grief. I wish I hadn't have made him stay up and clean the room that night. Mm-hmm. If I had have known that tomorrow was his last day. What do you do with that?
Yeah.
And this program helps you be able to complete those things that you wished you had have said. Mm-hmm. And the ladies did, they were phenomenal. It was hard. And I could see them struggling, but they were working on that paperwork and they were doing good.
Linda, what's something that if you got someone listening right now and they're thinking to themselves, oh man, I have grief and I can feel it deep down inside there. Where can they go? Like, is there a resource you could recommend for them?
Well, there's a program called the Grief Recovery Institute. It's out of California, and they have groups all over the United States, and the facilitators are certified. I'm a certified grief recovery specialist. That would be one choice. The other choice is you ought to check your church. Most churches, Catholic churches, have grief recovery programs. It might not be the one that I use, but they're still good programs that will help you and get you on a path so you're not alone. Because grievers isolate. They isolate because they're so overwhelmed with the pain and they don't know what to do with it. And everybody expects them to do what we call Academy Award performances and come in and act like everything's okay. How you doing? I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. You can't be fine.
But you had a great illustration with the tea kettle. And at some point, it's got to blow. And it might come out sideways. And other people know something's wrong with you, but you might not even know.
The balloon. Mm-hmm. We had a balloon and I had Christina blow the balloon. And she kept blowing it. And then I said, eventually the balloon is going to get so big, guess what it's going to do? Pop. And that's what you're going to do. And besides you're going to pop, you're going to be out of breath because you're blowing into this balloon. And grief is cumulative. And if you don't stop the big ball and chain that's rolling, that's when you get women who stand up and start screaming and crying because they're overwhelmed with life. Overwhelmed. But one other thing we talked about today, as I told him, I said, one of the reasons why you're tired and worn out is because you continue to make life work outside of God. You think you can handle it. You want to control it. You want to fix it. You can't handle it. You can't control it. You can't fix it. And when you try to do that, you get exhausted because it's a vicious cycle. And after a while, it becomes insanity because you're still trying to make life work outside of God. I can't get my husband back. I can't make him come back. I have to accept the fact that he's in heaven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's painful. It's hard, but that's the reality. Can't change it. Life and death, it's going to happen to us all. It's just a matter of time.
And that pedagogy of God is perfect as he teaches us to surrender, to let go, to trust. One of the things that my friend Jane Gerber and I talk about all the time is we have very little in our grasp that we can control.
That's right.
And until something happens, a major life event, there's an illusion that we can control everything. And I would say, I'm sure that men have their own areas of struggle. But for me now, as a woman in the home, I'm the one that controls the schedules of my kids, where we're going, in large portion, the mood of my home, for that matter. And when you go through something that's so beyond and you realize it only takes the bursting of a tiny blood vessel and everything for us has changed forever. And I'm curious your insight on that, Father, because you are a personality that is a very strong leader and you have to have a measure of control because you've got so much that you're accomplishing that the Lord has tasked you with ministry. And sometimes that mountain is really challenging, and you do see, as much as you've worked and as hard as you invest your life, your prayer, some things are still out of your control. And I'm sure in spiritual direction that you have to hear that aspect as well. So any insights that you can offer?
You know, I think that you have to be ready to fail because it's only a project. And being able to differentiate in our life, what is our mission versus what is our fruit? And our mission is our marriages and our kids. And heck, you don't need a lot for that, you know. Marriages and your kids, that's called relationships, time, trust, a basic human necessities of a house, etc. And if we could really say, all right, do we have that? That's our number one. then we try to do all kinds of amazing things. We do 4-H projects, raising pigs and trying to kill them and whatever, you know, going around taking kids to the movies, all those other things. But we have to be ready to fail there and not fail at the big things. And I think making that differentiation is critical, because as I try to do my ministry, I'm doing all kinds of extra things. And I'm ready to see them fail, because then I'm able to say the reason I'm doing them is not necessarily their success, but the love that I'm putting into it. And if that love is there, then they didn't fail, you know? Mm-hmm. And that gives you a lot of peace. I think what I see people struggle with is when they identify their purpose with their project. And that's not good. Your purpose is what you put into the project, but it's not the project.
And so short-sighted.
I just made that up.
You just that good.
Holy Spirit. But that's it. We define success on our terms. Yeah. And we know that's not how God works. That's redeems all things and uses all things. And even in our failures, it may be a success to Him as we, His children, are learning. And that's one of the things that Angie Thomas from Oklahoma, who's been here every year, and is such a joy and gift. And she said, in the grief recovery chart that we did, which is you had us from basically birth to today, go through and mark some things. And the longer and deeper the line, the more significant that loss in our life. And it could have been when our first conscious memory, okay, I remember my grandma's funeral. I remember there were problems with my teenage brother, and that really traumatized me, and all these different things. Angie did this, but her take was, next to all of these areas in her life where there was a loss, she remembered how God was there.
Yes.
What was a blessing or a lesson that I learned?
Right.
So that is really cool, because it's, again, the story of redemption. It's the story of Easter, you know, death and rising.
Because when you do your grief recovery chart from the time of your first conscious memory to the present, and you chart on there all of your losses that you can remember, and when you sit back and you look at that and you say, wow, God has been good to me. He has kept me. He's protected me. He's provided for me. Because you can see His handiwork on your life, each step of the way, all the craziness, the dumb stuff you did, and He was there, He was there, He was there, He was there. And it just gives you joy if you are willing to allow yourself to see the goodness of the Lord. But we're so busy trying to run from pain that you need to be in order to move where God wants you to move. We're so busy trying to protect ourselves and hide and not be hurt, or as Father Nathan says, and not suffer. But that's what life is about. Mm-hmm. It's about all of that. And that's what brings you on the other side to the goodness, mm-hmm. to the sweetness, as we call the convergence, that you get to a point in your life when things, Father Nathan, they just start to fit. And you say, mm-hmm. whoa. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is what was going on 5-6 years ago. And now, whoa, everything's starting to fit together. That good?
And that's true.
That's good.
It's the long view.
You guys are on fire. And
that's it. It's not immediately known all the time.
No.
Sometimes it takes a lifetime to be able to look back. And it was so cool when you shared about your vocation story. And I don't know if you can just offer a little snapshot of that little gift you were given to go to World Youth Day and how that unexpected thing changed your life forever.
Well, that's just it, because we never know where God's going to come looking for us. So I was 17 and I had a very fervent faith, and some folks saw that I was active in my church. I was serving Mass. And so they got together and they said, Father Nathan, little Father Nathan, congratulations, you won a trip. And I said, I didn't enter a competition. And they said, well, we're going to make the competition up when you get back, but you're going all expenses paid to World Youth Day.
Wow.
And they invested in that. What they saw was a potential, and boy, did it ever pay off, because that's where the Holy Spirit spoke to me through Pope John Paul II. And I felt that call, will you shepherd my young? And I was young. I was 17. So what was I, you know, but like, that's how God speaks. And then I said, yes. And then now I'm speaking to 20,000 a year, and I continue to shepherd His young.
Well, I think it's important to note, in the background, there's a bell ringing. See, we're living the monastery life just for a little. Well, do they even ring the bell?
They ring the bell.
Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, that's still there. It's kind of neat to do that, because then in the morning we go to chapel. It's just so beautifully regimented, and yet you kind of feel outside of time, which is cool. But when you hear the next program. I have an episode coming up with Dr. Aaron Cariotti, and he is a world-renowned psychiatrist and psychologist. He wrote a book called The Catholic's Guide to Depression. Really excited to welcome him to the program. Wow. But he talks about that exact thing, the impact of John Paul II on teenagers, precisely because he took them seriously. He knew that they were capable of doing great things. And I think that's kind of where we are. We blow off teenagers. We don't necessarily always take them seriously. Like, they don't know what they're talking about yet. And he did. He knew they had amazing gifts. And here you are, one of them in that crowd. Mm-hmm. And your life was changed. Mm-hmm. And he, forever. Yeah. Wow. And he spoke to them because he saw, you know, this great beauty and energy that we really need.
And I think that that's an insight for all of your listeners. You know, mm-hmm. every one of us, we tend... There's someone who said once that 70% of the self-talk in our brains is negative. Uh-huh. 70% of what you're saying to yourself right now. What if you had a Lord who took you seriously? And this, like, he took Sam and Peter seriously. He took Andrew seriously. What if you let Jesus take you seriously? And you said that everything that I've been given for the mission of the Lord. Oh my goodness, the things that we would do, the creative energies. When the stories of the saints, if you go back and read them, they're all about people who suddenly said, "What my life actually matters." I'll just tell you a real quick story of Blessed Catherine Drexel from Philadelphia. She was gaining in her inheritance the equivalent of something like $200,000 a month. That's how wealthy this lady was in Philadelphia. And so she went to the Pope because she said she wanted the Pope to send missionary priests and sisters to come to take care of the African-American children and the Indian children in America. So she took her little boat over there, and she thought with her influence she could win the Pope over. And the Pope looked at her and he said, "What about you?" And she never even thought about that. And then she received, at that moment, a vocation. She became a nun, founded her order, used her wealth to fund her sisters. And now for the past 100 and some years, her sisters have been taking care of African American and Indian children. And I just love that story, because I'd like for my voice, maybe hopefully, to be the carrier of our Lord's, mm-hmm. as I say, "What about you?"
Yeah.
That's what the Pope did for us when we were young.
Yeah. I think that's one of the most powerful things about this weekend is that we have time to stop and really think about that, to listen to the voice of our Lord, and to find out who we are in that grand scheme, to have Him speak to us that way. What about you? Where are you going? What are you doing? And that this opportunity to come away for one weekend, it's not too lofty to say it has the power to change the trajectory of your life, where you're going, who you are, who you know yourself to be, and you know yourself in Christ. So any, I guess, final words for the women who are here? We have been so touched by the tears in their eyes, the smiles. I mean, I'm thinking of faces by name, from Louise to Melissa to, you know, people who have traveled, Arlene and Darlene from North Dakota, mm-hmm. and the first time they've ever been to Ohio, the first time they've ever come to a women's retreat, and brought by their friend Angela, and just the beauty of how sisterhood is formed when we really open our heart. And that, I think, is one of the frustrating things in the society that we live in, is I've heard you give a talk about this too, where we're so good in our country at, like, building buildings and making everything look good on the outside. But on the inside, that's where the gold is. And we don't have time to stop long enough to really find out how the inside of people, what the status is, how their interior life is. And that's what's beautiful about an opportunity to do this in a safe place. So any final words for the women here and the beautiful souls who are listening right now?
Final word would be, not dead, don't quit. Not dead, don't quit. And ladies, we're made for this battle, and you were made for victory. So just keep on pushing on.
That's going to go on our kitchen chalkboard. Yeah, I wonder if we need to order a bumper sticker at your Christmas present.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I probably would say to the ladies that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You are beautiful. God loves you. You are precious in His sight. I don't care what color you are, what size you are, what occupation, how big you are, how small you are. God loves you just like you are, and that His mercies are new every morning. And you don't have to worry about tomorrow, because you get a whole new set. You don't have to have stale mercies. Learn how to live and be a living sacrifice for the Lord in whatever area of your life. He's with you.
And we're so blessed to have you both here. I know we've talked about that before, but to have a Catholic priest and to have my African-American pastor friend and sister, and what you bring to the heart of these women really is unique and beautiful. So high five on that. Father Nathan, you've got exciting things happening. You've got Eagle Eye Pro, you've got your new podcast, and let's plug away as we wrap up because we want people to be able to support you.
Absolutely. So go to eagleeyeministries.org. That's EAGLEEYE ministries.org, because I've got videos going on. I do two new videos every week that get delivered, and I do a monthly just for those members of Eagle Eye Pro, a webcast where you can have basically a private talk with me once a month. And that's actually the major way that I'm trying to fund my ministry, but it's funding it by forming you. So I really encourage you. There's a family plan. So many of you listening, you're like, what can I do for my kids? Don't buy them another t-shirt. Get them a subscription to Eagle Eye Pro, because with the family plan, you can get 7 subscriptions for a very low price. And that price actually, like I said, goes right to my ministry. So it's a win-win for everybody. And then, of course, I do have a podcast that's coming out called the Dare Great Things podcast. It was inspired, of course, by Good Things Radio. So Good Things Radio has now its a little son.
Well, but you'll always be our padre in your pocket,
well,
right?
I do appreciate it. Yes, I will. Dare Great Things, what we try to do there is I look for the relationship between faith and leaders, and how faith actually engenders a spirit of genuine leadership in folks to get people out there to engage the culture. So that's for free, and that's also found on our website, eagleeyeministries.org.
And Linda, wow, you do so much in particular for women. And I know a lot of people always want to say, how can I talk to you? How, you know, right, because you're so good at individually working with people. How can people connect with you? Is it Facebook? I know you have a website.
Well, you know what? My website is down right now. And this is the interesting thing. I get more invitations without a website. Right. So I don't know what that means. Okay. I haven't decided if I'm going to put it up or not, but they can always find me on Facebook, Linda Isaiah on Facebook. I haven't done Instagram yet. My son's trying to help me with that one. But right now I'm kind of in the middle of allowing myself permission to grieve over the loss of my husband. I do take speaking engagements, but I'm careful about where I go because I want to be where I'm safe. Yeah. One thing about grief is when you're grieving, you need safe people and you need a safe place to land. If you want to cry, you should be able to cry. So, but Facebook is a good place to reach me. Mm-hmm. I've got an engagement at the end of the month. I've got something coming up next month besides the work I do at the church, at my church, the House of the Lord. So I'm just trying to, I think, discern where God is moving me, because I do think it's another place.
Okay.
I don't think it was where I was at before Errol died. Yeah. I think it's somewhere else.
So you're still on a journey.
We all are. I'm still on a journey.
And by the way, you said, I know this is a story in and of itself and we have to wrap up, but your 37th wedding anniversary, every year without fail, you and your husband go somewhere.
This year, it
landed the first day of the Arise retreat.
Yes, it
and this was last year, knowing that, he said, I want you to go.
Yes,
and never knowing, obviously,
at that time.
What was going to unfold. And you were with us on your anniversary.
Yes. And they gave me roses and Joan rubbed my feet and they have just treated me wonderfully. And so I think in some ways, I'm glad I said yes last year, and it's been a blessing to me. See, when you give out of your pain, it blesses other people.
Yeah.
I don't waste my tears.
Yeah.
I share them for the goodness of the kingdom. And if I can do this, that gives other women, that's what somebody said, if you can go through that,
right,
I can go through it. That's what
and
it's
like
about.
Like you said, we're called to be a
living sacrifice.
Testimony.
Yes. I'm not getting on the bus tonight if I can help. I'm here to stay.
You better
while.
Be. We love you. Thank
I
you
love
so
you
much,
too.
Pastor
love
Linda
you
Isaiah.
Too.
Thank you so much,
You're
Father
welcome.
Nathan. God bless you.
God bless you.
There it is. A big thank you. A wonderful treat, really. Conversations with Father Nathan and Pastor Linda Isaiah. So rare. It's like having a steak dinner and then like chocolate cake, because it's the most
filling thing, but without the calories. So a big thank you to Pastor Linda and Father Nathan. And it's hard to really go into the details of the interior ponderings because I think some experiencers are just wordless. It's beyond really being able to wrap it into a quick recap. You know, and I think I'm still processing a lot of things from the weekend, other than just the only thing I can say is total palms raised in the air in Thanksgiving. Just so grateful for every aspect. So again, thank you to the team, Christina, Marie, Ann, Vicky, Betty, Angela, for making Arise another really, truly incredible experience for everyone. And we've got more incredible experiences coming, particularly on this program. I'm really excited to announce that we have a two-part series that's coming up, and the timing of it is really good. I'm getting ready to leave on pilgrimage to Italy, but in the meantime, we are going to launch a series. It's a bit of a mental health series with Dr. Aaron Cariotti. He is an associate professor of psychiatry, the director of the program in medical ethics at the University of California, Irvine, the School of Medicine. He has so much in his background. And from a scholar, academic standpoint, we could say, yeah, I mean, he's the best of the best. He's been featured in the Wall Street Journal. He's been on CNN and Fox News and NPR. PR and across the country, but spiritually, he is a force. And to have that combination is, wow, powerful. He wrote the book, The Catholic's Guide to Depression, and really is touching on something so deep and broad and necessary to bring to the light. And so we have such, it's, I have to say, of all the people that I've interviewed in my career, from Dr. Franklin Graham to the son of C.S. Lewis to Newt Gingrich, I mean, you name it, Beth Moore, amazing people, each interview blessed in their own way. But his, I think, was one of the most important interviews that I've ever done. I was sensing that as our discussion unfolded. So that's coming up on the next two shows, this two-part series with Dr. Aaron Cariotti. Also, I want to let you know that we'll be taking your prayer request to Italy on pilgrimage. Do you have an intention that you'd like us to lift up in Rome at St. Peter's, or in Assisi at the Church of St. Francis, or St. Clair, the Cross of San Damiano? Every holy site we will be visiting, we will carry your prayers with us. So if you have a special intention, you'd like us to lift you up during daily mass, reach out. You can find me on Voxer, Brooke Taylor, and the number one. It's Brooke with an E. Also, I'm on Facebook, Instagram. Just message me, or as my friend Linda says, inbox me, and you can also actually email me too at feedback@goodthingsradio.com. And just also humbly appreciate your prayers as well for a safe journey. Once again, people coming from all across the country to travel together as one unit, one family, to go to these sacred sites and be blessed in a way that will be life-changing. And so we're just praying for safety, protection, openness, especially for our families back home as well. A big thank you to our newest Podbean patron, Louise Miller. Thank you for your support of this program. Being a GTR good friend, she is our newest good friend of the show. And we thank all of our patrons who have allowed this podcast to continue. If you would like to be a GTR good friend of the show, it's super easy. Just click the link. There's going to be a little blurb in the show notes that you can find, and you can support the program every month. There's no amount that's too small, even a dollar. It's like a little tip. If you like what you hear, it allows us to pay our bills, upgrade the equipment, do the monthly subscriptions that are necessary for our podcast, and just show a little love. And we're so grateful for that. And again, no amount is too large as well. Usually the average donation is like $15 a month, but $5, $3. We're grateful for anything. Most importantly, your prayers. And it remains ad-free, this show, for you. So we thank you for that. It's a small way to just kind of keep us up and running. Also, a big thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studios, who received a rousing ovation at the Arise retreat, and rightly so, because he's kind of like the man behind the curtain. So it was kind of nice to have him out and there. He is a producer extraordinaire and wears many hats. A big thank you to Mark for his dynamic skills and quick work. For any audio needs that you may have, you can check him out at cominghomestudios.com. May you feel new life in your soul as you walk through this time of resurrection, spring, new birth, and awakening. That was our theme for the Arise Retreat. It's Mark 5:41. Jesus took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha cum, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. May you stand knowing you are loved and lifted up and ready to do great work for the Lord. Peace and love, friends. Until next time, God bless you.